coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, hour number two for today. You might say, well, wait a second. Where's hour one? Hour one was spent in the field. Look at my eyes. Okay. Hour one was spent in the field. Here's why. We are an investigative agency and we are investigating things here in this area that relates to the southern border. It relates to the illegal invasion. So the timing on this had to be done. We had to do this a very specific time. All right. So the operation has been complete. The investigation is ongoing, and you'll be hearing about it when the time is right. Meanwhile, folks, I want to thank you so much. Six countries, five-star ranking on Amazon. My book is out, In the Dark of Night. Of course, it's been out now. The actual publication date was April 22nd. However, it was it was released here in the store on, well, yesterday. The days just run together, the 17th of May. And, of course, now it's on Amazon Kindle and paperback. I like the paperback. I do. I really do. And it's got a 5-star rating, and there's some excellent reviews there. I want to thank those people who provide honest reviews and appreciate that very much. Very much. Very much. And if you know the book, this is somewhat of an extension of my first book, except you want to know what kind of the back end, the inside of what people like Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer do and myself. This is the book to get, In the Dark of Night. And folks, tell your friends about it. Post it on social media if you don't mind. Get the word out, because the information in there is very relevant to human and child sex trafficking today. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart, the fight against that and, you know, the all of the yuckiness that comes with it. But
and the first batches of signed copies went out today, correct?
Yesterday. Yeah, actually, yesterday they went out yesterday, and then another batch today, and one more batch tomorrow, and then Sunday more or Saturday, I think we'll get a delivery for additional the rest of the first order of books. So we should be up to date then for through the store. That makes sense? Okay. Eric the Tech said yes. If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan. StanDale.com. StanDale.com. I want to thank Stan for everything that he does. He provides a lot of great information that we really need. He has a great Patreon channel. He does a great Patreon meeting. Last Sunday was a meeting. Folks, please support Stan and Holly through Patreon, as well as he has a product now, among others, but EMP Shield. I've got to tell you, if you're not paying attention to what's going on internationally, nationally, and with the sun, okay, you better. And one of the things to protect your home and the items in your home, the electronic devices in your home, is the EMP Shield. Folks, go to empshield.com/Hagman. That's empshield.com/Hagman. And there, using the code Hagman, you'll get $50 off of your purchase. And then if you order in more than, I think more than three, I have to double check that. But if you order quantities, you get additional money off. In fact, if you order enough, Stan will be paying you. That's the way it seems. Seriously, it's really a good deal. Get one for your home, your car, your boat, your RV, your jet, your nuclear reactor that's in your shed, whatever you need. EMPShield.com/Hagman. Using the code Hagman. $50 off.
I know a lot of our listeners have these.
I do. I know. And you know what? if you've got a generator too, make sure you cover the generator with this. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, does this, yes, anything electronic. And Holly Dale, Dare to Prepare, her book, oh, could it be any more prevalent? Any more relevant, I should say. And Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan. Two great books. All right. Do we have Stan? All right. Stan Dale from standale.com. How are you, sir?
Good. How's my level there? The sound level okay?
Yes, sir. You look good.
Okay. On the line of the EMP things you were talking about, over at the company, EMP Shield, we got a message from Stratcom, from our advisors over there, and at NORAD, and you can see that in slide 38.
All right.
This is a link to a story that they sent us about Peter Pry and the threat to the United States grid network, you know, needing EMP shielding from, you know, warfare-type devices. However, I add to that, as always, that the sun is very unstable at the moment and getting worse, and I'll get to that later, but it's worth seeing this article. I mean, if they sent it to our company, you can see that the government agencies here are supporting what we're doing. That's it. There you can see it on our, you can get the EMP Shields on our website there, empshield.com, but this tells you that the government is very interested in our technology and spreading it throughout the community. So this is not a classified article. It is open to the public. So get it, download it, and read it, and prepare as best you can. Time's running out. There are just so many things pressing on the United States and Israel and the world, for that matter, that you need to do the best you can to preserve, you know, your power supplies or those things that could be damaged in your home or in your car from an EMP pulse, either from the sun or from a nuclear device detonated over the United States. I got to tell you, as I've said many times, the EMP shield doesn't, you know, just take one hit and then blow up or something. It takes at least 40 hits before it fails. So that means you can have 40 EMPs. And it's also durable, so that when you have a solar EMP, which lasts like for hours, lots of hours, you need to have that EMP shield in place continuously. When you get an EMP pulse from a bomb, it's over in, you know, a millionth of a second or less. So that's one test of a shield or a lightning arrestor, but the real test is from the solar EMPs, which are huge, and we'll have some articles that I guess we can look at that here. Let me just go ahead and tell you about some of them at the moment.
You know, when you said that, I guess I really never thought of that. Never thought of the fact that the sun keeps, you know, generating the pulses, the electromagnetic pulses. So thank you for telling me that and reminding me of that. Okay. That makes all sense.
Right. Oh, it does. It does. And look at slide 58. Yeah, this is one of the many exciting things that are facing us. It's not happy exciting, but threatening things. I'll read you that. It says, perhaps even more concerning, scientists estimate the chance of a keratin-level coronal mass ejection in the next 10 years to be from 4 to 12%. Say like either a 1 in 10 or less chance. Now, the scientist says that in the next 10 years, there's a 35% to 45% chance a coronal mass ejection will disrupt GPS service for up to several days. The cost to our nation and economy will be measured in the billions of dollars. Now, this isn't someday they're talking about. This is in the next 10 years and probabilities of it, because they're expecting, as I've been saying myself, that we're going to see severe changes in the sun. The Bible tells us it's going to happen in the end days, in the last days of this age. And we're seeing evidence of it all the time. It doesn't take a keratin level event. You can have one that occurred in 1920. One and same month as us in May, and that can repeat one or two times every 100 years at least. Let's see here. Look at slide 59 and click on the text there. That's from spaceweather.com, showing where that May 1929 or 1921 geomagnetic storm occurred, and it came from a giant sunspot. This caused, thousand-volt charges to run down telegraph lines and all kinds of stuff and caused fires at that time. And that wasn't even the Carrington-level event. It wasn't a direct hard hit. So everywhere we're getting warnings that things with the sun are not stable. Look at slide 60. This is back in Quebec, they're talking about a 1989 event there, and I remember seeing that on the news, that a CME hit Earth's magnetic field, and a minute and a half later, the Hydro-Quebec power grid failed. It caused a nine-hour blackout, and millions of Quebec people found themselves with no light, heat, and wondering what was going on. Now, this was a minor hit, right? We're expecting a huge one to hit us here in the next 10 years. Just so many things that point to that.
I remember
that. Yeah, as Holly says, it doesn't have to be 10 years. It could be tomorrow. But in the next 10 years from today forward, for the next 10 years, these are the probabilities they're giving us on these things. When the power grid goes down, you don't have cell phones. You don't have television. And your satellites are probably going to be not communicating because the whole communications network might be fried or at least impeded by the solar wind coming along with that. And this is just the normal behavior of the sun, the progression of the sun and things that might happen. This doesn't include the probability of EMP pulses from war events like North Korea hitting us or like China or Russia or both or all of these and Iran hitting us with EMP pulse weapons parked offshore in the international waters. They would come into our skies so quickly that you couldn't really expect all of them to be taken down before one of them succeeded in hitting our electronics grid and equipment with an EMP pulse. It's just, we are under such threat. I can't believe it. Do you feel that, Doug? I mean, it's amazing how quickly it's growing.
You know, you had your meeting on Sunday, and we had it afterwards later on Sunday night. And I said then, and I'll say it now, I feel very, there's something on the horizon, immediate horizon. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, I feel extremely, I feel that, yes, it's a spiritual and a intuitive feeling. I don't know. Did you ever walk into a room, or were you ever in a room and either somebody came in or you walked into a room and you said, man, somebody's here. It could be like a store, warehouse, whatever it might be. That's kind of the feeling I have in terms of something is like right in the offing here. So that's the way I feel.
Most of us humans, anyway, do have that kind of creepy sense, that warns you. Like I felt it in Israel when I was down in the Qumran caves, and I was exploring some of them in cave 15, I think I recall. But my associate and I were going into these caves and one by one checking them out to see if they had scrolls or other things, and in this particular one, it was easy to get into. We didn't have to swing into it or anything. We could walk into it. And it was very hot outside, and it was even warmer, hotter inside, and kind of moist feeling, And as we walked in, we felt this, like the hair on the back of your neck climbs out, or pops out. I looked at my friend there, and I said, "Do you feel that?" And he said, "Yes." And as I said that, I looked off to my right there in a dimly lit cave and put my torch on it. And I could see a stack of animal bones that had been gnawed clean. And we were sure that we had a feline, a cat of some sort that would eat you sitting there watching us. And I could feel it. My partner could too, because we both looked at each other. So I know what you're talking about, that creepy feeling. And you're getting that now with current events or potential events.
Yes.
So I thoroughly understand that.
Yeah. There's just something. It's intuitive. It's spiritual, but it's that voice saying, "Hey, you know what? There's something not right here." So, yeah. Oh boy.
Well, along those lines, you and I talking like this, and we talk about prophecy, we talk about strange things, but and war and attacks. And if you look at slide 64, in the text it says, Democrats, Republicans reach a deal to create a 9/11-style commission for January 6th. McCarthy raises big issue. Okay, what they're trying to say is they're setting up a commission to investigate not only the 400 people they've arrested from that march that went on to the Capitol there when Trump made his farewell speech. They're extending that to look at all of us here that are, you know, potential terrorists, like these people that just came over there, you know, big deal. But, you know, let me just see, I think, down in the article here.
They're coming after us, Stan. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind.
That's what it's about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, and there it is in black and white. They're going to extend this, and they're going to come after us for being Christians, for being conservative, for not wanting the corona, to, you know, virus, you know, vaccination. They're going to come after us for things that are normal, what normal human beings would express during times of crisis like this. We really need to get rid of the occupiers of the White House and our government at the moment because they stole it. It was a false election. They rigged it and they took it away from President Trump. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, still our president. On the good news side, the good news side of that, Trump says in slide 66, as our country is being destroyed both inside and out, the presidential election of 2020 will go down as the crime of the century. I put that on his website. You can see that there. There you go. Now, he's hit this statement a couple times in various forms of it, saying, you know, it was illegally done, that they took it away from us. And then, in slide 65, click on the picture first.
All right.
And you see President Trump, you know, while he's still in office, speaking to a group of military men. And then you see down below it an interesting picture of President Trump and several major military generals in charge. And I'm telling you that this is indicative of a coup, a counter coup by President Trump and those supporting him. 75% of the military support President Trump. Now, click on the text, and you'll see it's on Dave Hodges' show. Right. You'll see the things that are happening here that tell us that President Trump is going to have to do this. Somebody is, because we now have enough people in the public here, not supporting but being against what the Biden administration is doing to us. It's hitting everyone, Democrat, Republican, independents, you know, everyone. And if you look in that article, it says, why, you know, I mean, look, Biden does not have the nuclear codes. And this is why Pelosi 3 months ago demanded the codes for herself. She was refused. So the Pentagon's not giving that the occupiers of the White House and you know, our government at the moment the nuclear launch codes. They're crazy. You know, they could launch these things on ourselves, for instance. Now, Biden was forbidden entrance into the Pentagon under the orders of Marine Corps Commandant. So if the president can't go into the Pentagon, you think the Pentagon is worried about him? And the article says, I have confirmed through deep cover informants, this is, you know, Dave Hodges, I have confirmed through deep cover informants that Biden does not control the nuclear submarine fleet or the Space Force. This is absolutely huge. The Biden people know that the military wants to arrest them and usher in a return of Donald Trump. And, you know, in the article there, it says, connecting the dots. You've got it there on the screen down toward the lower fourth of the page. And you just see how many things that Biden has allowed, which makes it imperative that we physically kick him out of office and arrest him. This is not treasonous talk or anything, because these people are invaders. They're not our government. In the Biden group, the Biden gang that's there and the people behind them.
If anyone thinks, I mean, Stan, you know, it was just in the shadow of the the 2020 election in Phoenix, 95-mile caravan, Donald Trump caravan, pro-Trump caravan, Maricopa County, where the audit is being conducted, the forensic audit, which is making so many people nervous. The Board of Supervisors is doubling and tripling down, saying you can't see any of this. So we already had audits. Sent a 13-page letter to Karen Fan, the president of the state senate of Arizona, and admitting that they essentially, and you've got to really go through this letter, but they admit that I believe it was Dominion, their equipment did not provide the Dominion actually did the previous audits too. There were two, and the supervisors or the election officials did not have control over their own elections. That's in Maricopa County. And from Michigan, Matthew DiPerno, his office was ransacked, much like Watergate. Are we hearing this on the news? I don't remember hearing about any of this on the news. Antrim County, New Hampshire, they just found a Democrat said, "Hey, I want a recount." Well, they had a recount, and guess what? Not only did she lose by, I think, you know, she said, "Oh, it was close. It was like 20 votes, or roughly." No, they found that the votes were switched from Democrats to, or from Republicans to Democrats. So on the hand count of 10,200 and some odd ballots, she lost bigly. Okay. So, you know, people are waking up, Stan, and see, here's the thing. So let me ask you this question, because if we were sitting at the kitchen table talking, having coffee, what do you think would happen if the American public, or if I don't know, the audits came back and the forensic audits came back and said, "Look, man, you know, Donald Trump won." And not only did Donald Trump won, they won in Georgia, the Senate seats in Georgia. Not that that was anything, you know, to brag about, but okay. And not only that, a lot of the other votes, Republican other votes won as well. So the states decertify their election results. Now, we've never been in that period before. So my question to you, I guess, Stan, just sitting at the kitchen table here, what do you think would happen in America if Donald Trump, if they said, "Okay, we're going to bring Donald Trump back in. We have to because he won." Well, what do you think would happen in America?
Well, first of all, who is they? Who's going to say that he won?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me think this through. Eric, we'll say he won. That's a good point. Yeah, who's going to say that, right?
All these polls and recounts and things proving that the election was stolen are interesting, but for the unconvinced on the Democratic side that supported Biden and stuff, they could all think, "Well, this is made up. This is not true." But the thing that they can't argue against is when they're going to the store and they're having to pay exorbitant food prices already, and when they're parked in lines miles long to get gasoline, these are personal things that are getting in their pocketbook, and you don't need proof to see that the Biden administration is failing miserably, or bigly, as you were saying. And they really aren't an administration; they are occupiers of the building and the buildings here in Washington. They are part of a force invading the United States. These are our enemies. There's no question about it. I have no qualms in saying this. So when they, the ones that supported Biden, when they realize, "Whoa, that was a mistake. Everything that Trump was doing was actually pretty good. Life was sweet." These guys don't belong there. So now then when the majority, 70-80%, maybe even less than that, of the American population, no matter what political stance they have, when they say, "We need to do something. This is not right. This is illegal. They're violating the Constitution. They're flooding us with illegals and with terrorists that are sneaking in from the Middle East through the southern border. We've got to stop this." At that point, it's like saying, like the Masons have a saying, "Well, no one helped the widow's son." That's a distress call. It's here. And so at that point in time, President Trump and his military supporters and other groups of people that supported him, they can make their move to take the country away from these invaders, kick them out, lock them up, get rid of them, and they will have the support of the people. That's the important thing, and that's why President Trump, I think that's why President Trump has held back this long before actually making a move to physically get our country back.
And I'm glad you said that because, you know, imagine what would have happened if on the day after the election or any time before the 20th of January, if he would have, or even after the 6th or around the 6th or whatever, if he would have said, look, this whole thing was a sham, we're going to bring the military in or whatever the case might be. If he would have forced the issue as opposed to let it play out a little bit, I'm beginning to think, I like your train of thought there, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
There are so many things to cover. Another thing that needs addressing and fixing as best we can is the weather, the climate here in the United States particularly, but it's worldwide. It's hitting Australia, it's hitting us, it's hitting a lot of food producing countries. Slides 52 through 51, that's six slides. They cover various aspects of what's happening right now. And this is by the sun, the drought being caused in the United States. Look at slide 49's picture. Bring that up. And you'll see here in Colorado, even we have fields that are definitely plowed, but there's no seed in them because there's no rain. So why plant seeds in the lower half of that picture you've got there if you roll the screen down? But anyway, yeah. And now then back up to the map itself. This is showing you the temperatures, the drought conditions from NOAA of, the United States. And you can see that from West Texas all the way up into, Idaho. And west of there, we have severe drought situations, and they're getting worse. This means that a lot of farmers aren't even planting. There's no point to it because there's no water. And we're having water restrictions in certain places where people that would plant aren't being allowed to draw it because they're not supplying it through the conduits that they normally do. It's like a dust bowl like we had, in the book. What was it? Was it East of Eden when they're talking about the dust bowl there and the migrations of the people across, in Steinbeck's?
Grapes of Wrath, was it?
Yeah, Grapes of Wrath. We're seeing that again and worse, and we have much more people now. So if you look over in the central north United States on that map, the temperature change, it's fairly neutral up there in the Dakotas, but southwest and west are much worse than the east coast where people live, but that's not the major crop, production areas. You have California and, Texas and Arizona, all these places that feed the rest of the nation are in dire strife, and these farmers don't have an endless bank account or resources, and they can't just snap their fingers and say, hey, give us some water. It takes, government action, which this administration will not do because they are doing everything they can to bring chaos to the United States so that the invading forces from China, Russia, Iran, and wherever, Mexico, can take over the United States, permanently to get rid of elections and any chance to, legally by the Constitution regain control of this country. And a counter coup in this case would not be illegal. It would be simply correcting an error that occurred at the ballot box by these invaders.
Yeah, think of the riots you'd have.
What? What riots? Holly just said.
Yeah.
It's from the Democrats and all the people that, want Biden in there.
You mean after we counter coup or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's an obvious point, but, Holly and I were warned by the Hopi, about the civil war that would occur in the United States between various factions, a multifaceted civil war. And so I know that even though, when President Trump makes a counter coup, this is going to spark riots all over the country. And a lot of them are going to be instigated by fifth columnists, by terrorists.
Sure.
Posing as normal Americans. So we're going to have the chaos, multifaceted civil war, no matter what we do.
I'm with Holly, by the way. I'm 100% Holly. I agree with you. And Stan, I agree as well. You know, when you mentioned the Hopi, and you, as you have frequently spoken about that, but you know what, Stan, and forgive me for saying this, and please, everyone forgive me for saying this, but you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready because what choices do we have at this point? They've taken over our every aspect of our lives almost, our media. They've taken over our judiciary. They've taken over our legal system, our legislatures, state and local and federal. And they've taken over the Supreme Court, it seems like. They've taken over everything. So how do we fix this short of a shooting war? I mean, not that I want that. I'd love to be able to fix it, but how? Just me.
Well, look, we have to do that. They've already drawn guns on us in these rioters in the Northwest and other places in the country. And they've hamstrung these police forces in these areas, National Guards and things like that, by saying, no, you can't do it. Don't stop this. Let it go. And then defunding the police and various other things. These terrorists have made it almost impossible for the local governments, you know, cities and states to take up arms and get rid of these offenders because they know who they are. They've got them on film. They've identified them. And they truck themselves around these terrorists to various cities and riots so they can stir them up. It's a well-planned and executed move, or moves, I guess. We have to physically become a police force to correct the United States. And we're allowed to do that because these people have stolen the election. They do not legally have control of this country, even though they do have control at the moment. And that's why we have to pick up arms under proper guidance, leadership of doing that. And particularly,
And that's the thing. I mean, to me, we're living in a post-constitutional republic and, or post-constitutional society. And you're right. I mean, look, we need statesmen to lead us out of this, constitutional statesmen. That aren't afraid of the weaponized intelligence community. You know, that aren't afraid of, I'm going to be quiet now, but that's what we need.
I know what you're feeling, what you're saying. But it's like I've said several times in the last few shows we've done, this far and no farther. The line has been drawn and we have to now stop any further encroachment. It is time for the counter coup, organized military coup, to go get rid of these interlopers. We have to do that.
If I can ask both of you and Holly, I mean, if she wants to chime in, she can. I'm just curious. Do you feel that this country, based on, do you feel that we are split like 50-50, or do you feel that there's more constitutionalists on our side than there are, the Antifa kind of street urchin people?
Holly, did you hear that?
Yeah, I think the Antifa thugs and the rest of them make up a small minority, but simply because they were so raucous and they've infiltrated a number of our institutions, their voice is louder. But I think there's more people here when it got right down to it that stand up and fight for this country.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it only takes 3-6% of the population revolting, you know, or in this case, invading. And you can take over a country. It doesn't take massive, you know, swaths of people. They can be misled by that 3-6% control of media and broadcasts and, military, which they don't really have. What do you think, Doug?
Well, it's interesting because Eric the Tech chimed in my ear and said, whatever the media covers too, you know, in terms of elevating that smaller element of society. So, you know.
They love to cover the 5% and under news.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I agree with you folks. You and Holly, and thank you, Holly. I agree with you. I think there are more people that are not insane or not communists or not, you know, there are more people on the constitutional side, I suppose, if I had to draw that line.
Yeah, because Constitution, you know, the as it was drafted and amended over the years, protects the Democrats as well as the Republicans and independents. They still have to have the right to change things. And the way it's going now, the leftists in this country are saying, whoops, we, you know, the Democrat people, just the normal average guy is saying, whoa, we're losing control to be able to do anything like this. They're fixing it so we can't have a fair election anymore, our elections at all. So yeah, the common people are waking up. They're feeling it, you know, in their pocketbook and their COVID-19 handling and their kids not going to school and all this kind of stuff is reaching everyone, even those that voted for Biden.
You know,
and that's why we had to wait until this point to start making a move.
Okay.
Well, if a move is being made, sorry.
If a move is being, well, you know, it's interesting because there seems to be, I get the feeling, and I don't have any sources to tell me otherwise. I just get the feeling that there's a lot of stuff happening in the background. A lot of, you know, it looks like a tranquil kind of pond and there's all kinds of stuff going on underneath the surface. But, and I so appreciate this discussion, especially with Ollie off camera. It's great. But, you know, okay. So, I guess the other question, since you mentioned this, the lockdowns and the mask and the anti or non-masking and stuff, I've been asking all this question to everybody I run into. Why do you think, why all of a sudden did the CDC say, okay, well, you know, you can take off your mask, you know, if you have the jab, if you're vaccinated or whatever, which is a non-vaccination, but why now? Because certainly they didn't achieve their goal of the jab in terms of numbers. So why now? What's behind that? I just get I get a weird feeling about that.
Well, obviously, you know, Biden has been threatening that we'll be sorry if we don't get the shot. He's becoming more vocal about punishing those 60 million of us or whatever that don't want to do it. The liquid or injectable shots, are potentially a problem with our DNA, with modifications there in certain parts of our genetic makeup of this country. And so, you know, my brother's a doctor. I've asked him what to do. And he and I and our families, we're not taking the vaccine shot. If we are forced, you know, at gunpoint to take a vaccine, he says, take the Johnson & Johnson one. And even my own doctor said the same thing. But there is a way to get around if you don't take the shot, if you want to protect yourself or have just been exposed to COVID-19, go to slide 42. Now, my brother pointed me to this and says, here is a way to buy a type of medication. You can get it. It's a telephone or like a phone med consultation with an authorized doctor. And you go to this link. It's called America's Frontline Doctors. And there are a number of medications, but in particular, the ones for COVID-19 are like hydroxychloroquine and another one that he talks about on there. And you can go in there, make an appointment by phone, and then get this particular drug here. I'm just trying to...
Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You know, actually, Stan, I'll tell you, I know people who have used this, two people, actually, so not a lot, but two, and they're very happy with the service.
Right. Okay. Well, my brother said, look particularly at, in addition to hydroxychloroquine, look at ivermectin. It's the second one in line three there. If you just go down, and to the left a bit, I guess. Or to the right, move to the right on your screen. Is that right? Anyway, number three, you can't see the number there, but it's on the left side of the screen. But there, the second medicine in that's recommended and that they will supply to you is that, you've got it there with the highlight there, ivermectin. So there are ways for the Christians to avoid, the consequences of being exposed or contracting COVID-19. By using these two drugs, which you can buy online with these people, and they'll be delivered to your address, your home address, or wherever you tell them to. It's a telemed call, and there's the number even. That way you can be protected. It's not going to keep you out of any kind of restrictions that the government puts on us now if we don't have the shot, like saying you can't buy, you know, food, or you can't buy gasoline, or you can't travel, or that kind of stuff. It won't stop that. The only thing to stop that would be a counter coup at the moment. But in the meantime, these are things to protect you and your family, to have in your cupboard there or someplace dry and cool to have and use should the COVID-19 issue become a problem to you and your family. So as you say, you know, a couple of people have used this.
Yep.
It is a good place.
Yes, yes. And it was very, it was a seamless, I mean, it was all of like 10 minutes, but it was comprehensive enough where, you know, it wasn't, they knew what they were doing. Okay, I'll just say that. Yeah.
The doctors ask you questions about your health and age and all that kind of stuff to be sure that you can take this stuff and not have any side effects from it.
Right.
So you need to have a proper physician, which they have several of, and you'll be talking to one of these physicians who will be like your doctor and interview you the same way your doctor would. So as you say, it's a pretty painless, you know, 10 or 15 minute consult, and you authorize them, you know, to send you that stuff and give them a credit card and buy it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's my understanding they have their own pharmacy, if you will, or pharmacy like
dispensary.
Yeah, dispensary. That's what I was looking for. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's, one addition to this, I've been doing a lot of research, and I know Peter Barry Chaka, who hosts our show, has done a lot of research into Fauci. And my goodness, the HIV, AIDS, that whole debacle back then, and how Fauci was up to his elbows in that, how Ron Klain, who is Obama Biden, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Marbles, his chief of staff or slash body man, was the Ebola czar, okay, when Fauci and Klain met in the White House in 2014. And Fauci, oh my goodness. This whole thing is just, it stinks to high heaven. It really does. So I just.
It's incestuous. It really is. Yeah. I want to discuss the situation in Israel. Everybody's probably watching the daily news about the rocket attacks, you know, from the Palestinians and some being launched even from the Lebanon and the north of Israel. And the situation is getting very tense over there. Now, Holly, in her book, Prophetic Perils, if you look at slide 41, you can click on that and go to, our kind of blurb on that book and see the chapter she's got in it. And in there is a chapter which covers the armies, you know, or the countries and their armies that are arrayed against Israel. And she has it, I think it's in chapter 18. I'm just looking down there. But anyway, I've got the book here. I'm going to read this part for you because it's important to see that prophecy written in Psalm 83 covers exactly the countries that we see now lined up against Israel. On page 416 of her book, The Prophetic Perils, says the great Middle East war players, verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 83. It says here, the tents of Edom, the descendants of Esau, is of Palestinian refugees and southern Jordanians. And you'll see that Jordan plays into this heavily. The Ishmaelites are the Saudi Arabians. Moab are the Palestinian refugees and central Jordanians. There we are in Jordan, again, allied with the Palestinians. The Hagrites, those are the Egyptians. The Gebel, the Hezbollah, and northern Lebanese. Ammon, the Palestinian refugees and northern Jordanians. There's Jordan again. Philistia, that's Palestinian refugees and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The inhabitants of Tyre, that's Hezbollah and southern Lebanese. Assyria, Syrians and northern Iraqis. The children of Lot, Moab and Ammon, are Jordanians. That's all of the Jordanians. Amalek, Arabs of the Sinai Peninsula, including Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Oman, Yemen, Kuwait, and Qatar. Now, this is Psalm 83 war versus the Gog Magog War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. She covers that in the same chapter. But what I was interested in this for was the Arab Confederacy that's forming, and certainly Mohammed bin Salman has done his part to ally at least 34, maybe up to 39 Arab countries and allies into a confederation that can be used against Israel. Now, the attack on Israel by these allied nations when it starts will be rather sad for the allied nations attacking Israel, because a fire is going to destroy a lot of their armies right as they approach. And they're going to turn and run, you know, turn tail and run when they see what's happening. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be an act of God that occurs at that point, or whether it's going to be the nuclear facility, nuclear arsenal of Israel against these allied armies as they approach Israel. Thing about it is the approaching armies are going to have their troops facing Israel and coming to Israel. They're going to be leading, they're going to be great targets. And Israel does have nuclear facilities and other types of new weapons that could very well do what is suggested in the Bible, what is stated in the Bible, like a fire, a consuming fire that will destroy great amounts of these invading armies. Anyway, get that prophetic peril book out if you have it. If you don't, then we've got plenty of them here. Get them and read about this and many other things about the Gog and Magog War. And of course, about Armageddon. There'll be more and different countries allied in that situation.
I have to say, I've got that book, and folks, it is a tremendous book, Prophetic Perils by Holly Dale. She does a great job. And Bill Salas talks about the Psalm 83 war as well. I think you know, we've had him on, and lines up with what Holly has written, and of course lines up with biblical prophecy.
Something I need to throw in here on the solar thing here. You'll see in slide 62 in the text, it says, after glimpsing faint but widespread superheated material in the sun's outer atmosphere, a NASA sounding rocket is going back to the sun for more. This time they're carrying a new instrument optimized to see it across a wider region of the sun. The mission, known as Extreme Ultraviolet Normal Incident Spectrograph, or UNIS for short, will launch from the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. The launch window opens on May 18th today. Now, the interesting part about this, among other things, is that they are testing, they are sensing and recording data on the extra or extreme ultraviolet radiation from the sun. As I've been telling you all along, this ultraviolet radiation is popping up since 1992 in different wavelengths, different bandwidths from the sun. And it's indicative of something rather major happening to the solar chemistry. So that article is interesting. It tells you about what they're doing, why they're doing. But the main thing is that they are looking at the ultraviolet, the extreme ultraviolet, which I've been worrying about. You know, we're going to see more of this kind of stuff coming from the sun, where it will be difficult to be outside without protection on your skin. Anyway, that's just a note on that. In these times, you know, it's a great opportunity for us believers to use current events with the sun and with the military, you know, all this kind of stuff, to witness to people who are confused or frightened about what is happening. It's numbing, mind numbing to these people. It's frightening to them. They don't know what to do. They're without a rudder, certainly not from what is occupied in the White House at the moment in our country. But slide 61 is a study which shows Christianity spreads best in unlikely places. It's not where you would think, but it is where it is needed most. Now, in summarizing the article, it shows that the nations that support and allow Christianity to be preached and practiced in their countries, that the salvation and conversion and stuff is minimal there. It's starting to drop because people have gone kind of fat and lazy there. Where the spread of Christianity is huge, particularly like in China, but in North Korea, there are places, countries across the world where Christianity is spreading because they are suppressed. They're not allowing Christianity in those countries, but it is an underground, like in the early church, you know, it is spreading like wildfire in the underground. By the way, an update on my brother James and his wife in China. they are fine, and everything is, you know, prayer is working for them. That's kind of all I can say about that at the moment.
Wow. Thank you for that update.
Yeah. Hey, an interesting thing, slide 63. The Royal Marines have been testing these jetpacks, you know, where you strap it on your backside, push a button, and you're airborne and you fly with these jetpacks. It's like Flash Gordon all over again, except for real. And the article says, bad guys the world over will soon have one more thing to keep them up at night. Commandos in jet suits descending on them from the skies. The British Royal Marines from the 42nd Commando and 47th Commando units participated in an exercise with Richard Browning, the founder and chief test pilot of Gravity Industries, in which they demonstrated their ability to use jet suits to successfully board vessels at sea. So, you know, certainly this is a real solution, you know, to go in and get rid of these people that are pirates. But it's also going to be useful in warfare to move a squad or numbers of people very quickly into strategic positions needed to attack and defeat the enemy. What an interesting thing. It's like Dick Tracy's, you know, radio watch he had, you know, those days. And we've got them now in all kinds of Apple Watches and things that are intelligent, well, to a degree. I mean, they're communicating devices and data acquisition devices. But those things written about in the comics 60, 70 years ago are now reality out of necessity.
That's how Eric the Tech gets to work. He's got one of those. No, can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing one of them coming at you? You know, I mean, oh boy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can have a sub that surfaces on, you know, invisible in a blind sight on a ship that's been commandeered by terrorists, and they could then use that as a launch platform and just zip up over the top of the deck, and they're there on board fighting the baddies before they even know that they're there. Marvelous invention. I think that's just a really great idea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, by the way, slide 50 on droughts and things like that. The article says, how long will Australia be livable? Facing a future of fire, drought, and rising oceans, Australians will have to weigh the choice between getting out early or staying to fight the environment or the weather. You know, like the United States, a major portion of the population of Australia live on the coastal areas. And before Holly and I even left the country in 2001, the government was announcing to the people on the east coast out near Brisbane and New South Wales, don't build any closer to the shoreline now than, say, like 1,200 feet in, because we see that the sea level is going to continue to rise and flood out districts, you know, infrastructure, whatever. So they're already advising them, like 20 years ago, don't build near the coast because of the flooding that's going to occur. So that article, you know, covers a number of these things. And it makes you wonder, for those that were thinking, well, I'm going to escape to Australia to get out of the trouble here. The environment down there is going to be a major issue. The heat, and it's going to cause the population to break away from the cities, which are concrete, you know, heat sources for the area. Get out of the cities, and it's going to cause, you know, the migration of people away from the cities, and chaos will ensue. But also, we're going to see the Chinese pushing Indonesians, the Islamists there, to come down into the northern half of Australia and take it over. So Australia, as far as, you know, an escape and a safe haven, is not what I would call highly recommended, just for those that were thinking that.
Wow. Is there any place that's really going to be safe globally?
No.
Didn't think so.
No. And especially for Americans, because Americans will be hunted down like Israelis, you know, especially if you're overseas. Did you ever see that movie Knowing, where the kid had all these numbers that were written down and it was a prophecy for what was coming?
No.
Holly, who was that star of Knowing?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. At the end of the movie, it shows that the Earth is hit by a supermassive flare from the sun, and it shows buildings being just blown away, burned up, and it's so hot you can't live. And of course, the theme of the show was that several chosen children and animal types were being caught up into spaceships by angels and were taken to new planets where they weren't threatened by this solar phenomenon. But the graphics in it, because you know, will immediately remind you of one third of the planet being fried with light, seven times the strength of what it is now, as prophesied in the book of the Revelation of John. And I saw that movie, you know, recently. I thought, wow, this is so far ahead of its time in warning people about the solar, you know, flare impact. It's going to hit the side of the planet that's facing the sun. And that's when the damage will occur, but it will be a brief thing, a few minutes, hours, and that side of the planet will burn. The oceans will boil. But as the effect, you know, as the flare diminishes and the moon turns, then the rest of the planet will get the heat being distributed from that fire, and that will affect crops and you know, clouds or you know, dust clouds and stuff that will hit crop growing. And anyway, that just reminded me of that that movie. With the UFO situation, there's so much on that at the moment. I mean, there are four or five major news stories this week on related to the UFO and the release of the documents by the government. Slide 39, Tucker Carlson said, UFOs may pose a real threat to the United States, and the U.S. military does not care. The conflicts the Pentagon says it's preparing for seem comically small and outdated. It's a video produced by him, and you'll see that Luis Elizondo, who we've seen on the History Channel, talking about the need to release the government secrets on UFOs, he says, look, I'm not telling you that it doesn't sound wacky. I'm telling you it's real. Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, 600 to 700 times the force of gravity when turning corners, that can fly 13,000 miles an hour, that can reach and evade radar and can fly through air and water and possibly space. And, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings to control surfaces, no control surfaces, and yet can still defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing, said Elizondo. Click on that and see that what Tucker Carlson has to say about it later. Slide 47, a UFO expert has urged the U.S. government to release a top-secret photo that purportedly shows a 100-foot object hovering over Calvina in Scotland. Nick Pope, who investigated UFOs for the Ministry of Defense in England, is hopeful the U.S. intelligence agencies release the photo when they publish an upcoming report on UFOs and strange encounters. That's due shortly here in the next month or so. Pope, who saw the photo of Calvin in Scotland while working for the MOD, told the Sun Chronicle it is one of the most compelling pieces of UFO evidence he's ever seen. And you can see there's a picture there, but then there's the article. You can read further about it. And next to that, another UFO story, slide 48. Underwood is the man who captured the footage that the Times included in their report and the Pentagon later released officially. The infrared camera on the wings of his F-18 Super Hornet recorded a small object floating in the air for a few minutes before rapidly accelerating away. That sudden acceleration, which should be physically impossible, is something that stumps skeptics to this day. And that's on the encounters of the aircraft assigned to the USS Nimitz.
Stan, we only have about a minute left. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone. Wow. But that's amazing. This UFO, these UFO topics.
Well, all right. In the next 10 seconds here, slides 55 through 57 are the current state of the sun and the approaching hotspot in the north, west quadrant or northeast by space terms. That's in slide 56. It's coming around, be here in about 7 days.
Even more reason, empshield.com/Hagman. Stan, I want to say thank you and thank Holly. You folks are fantastic. We love you and we appreciate everything you do. You know, it's
thank you, Doug.
A lot of information.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. All right. That'll do it. May God bless each and every one of you. I'll tell you what, just approach the coming days, weeks, months, whatever we've got, with open eyes and with a heart to God. Have a good night.
Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, hour number two for today. You might say, well, wait a second. Where's hour one? Hour one was spent in the field. Look at me, look in my eyes. Okay. Hour one was spent in the field. Here's why. We are an investigative agency and we are investigating things here in this area that relates to the southern border. It relates to the illegal invasion. So the timing on this had to be done. We had to do this a very specific time. All right. So the operation has been complete. The investigation is ongoing, and you'll be hearing about it when the time is right. Meanwhile, folks, I want to thank you so much. Six countries, five-star ranking on Amazon. My book is out, In the Dark of Night. Of course, it's been out now. The actual publication date was April 22nd. However, it was it was released here in the store on, well, yesterday. The days just run together, the 17th of May. And, of course, now it's on Amazon Kindle and paperback. I like the paperback. I do. I really do. And it's got a 5-star rating, and there's some excellent reviews there. I want to thank those people who provide honest reviews and appreciate that very much. Very much. Very much. And if you know, the book, this is somewhat of an extension of my first book, except you want to know what kind of the back end, the inside of what people like Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer do and myself. This is the book to get, In the Dark of Night. And folks, tell your friends about it. Post it on social media if you don't mind. Get the word out, because the information in there is very relevant to human and child sex trafficking today. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart, the fight against that and, you know, the all of the yuckiness that comes with it. But
and the first batches of signed copies went out today, correct?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, actually, yesterday they went out yesterday, and then another batch today, and one more batch tomorrow, and then Sunday more or Saturday, I think we'll get a delivery for additional the rest of the first order of books. So we should be up to date then through the store. That makes sense? Okay. Eric the Tech said yes. If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan. StanDeo.com. StanDeo.com. I want to thank Stan for everything that he does. He provides a lot of great information that we really need. He has a great Patreon channel. He does a great Patreon meeting. Last Sunday was a meeting. Folks, please support Stan and Holly through Patreon, as well as he has a product now, among others, but EMP Shield. I've got to tell you, if you're not paying attention to what's going on internationally, nationally, and with the sun, okay, you better. And one of the things to protect your home and the items in your home, the electronic devices in your home, is the EMP Shield. Folks, go to empshield.com/Hagman. That's empshield.com/Hagman. And there, using the code Hagman, you'll get $50 off of your purchase. And then if you order in more than, I think more than three, I have to double check that. But if you order quantities, you get additional money off. In fact, if you order enough, Stan will be paying you. That's the way it seems. Seriously, it's really a good deal. Get one for your home, your car, your boat, your RV, your jet, your nuclear reactor that's in your shed, whatever you need. EMPShield.com/Hagman. Using the code Hagman. $50 off.
I know a lot of our listeners have these.
I do. I know. And you know what? If you've got a generator too, make sure you cover the generator with this. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, does this, yes, anything electronic. And Holly Dale, Dare to Prepare, her book, oh, could it be any more prevalent? Any more relevant, I should say. And Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan. Two great books. All right. Do we have Stan? All right. Stan Dale from standale.com. How are you, sir?
Good. How's my level there? The sound level okay?
Yes, sir. You look good.
Okay. On the line of the EMP things you were talking about, over at the company, EMP Shield, we got a message from Stratcom, from our advisors over there, and at NORAD, and you can see that in slide 38.
All right.
This is a link to a story that they sent us about Peter Pry and the threat to the United States grid network, you know, needing EMP shielding from, you know, warfare-type devices. However, I add to that, as always, that the sun is very unstable at the moment and getting worse, and I'll get to that later. But it's worth seeing this article. I mean, if they sent it to our company, you can see that the government agencies there are supporting what we're doing. That's it. There you can see it on our, you can get the EMP shields on our website there, empshield.com. But this tells you that the government is very interested in our technology and spreading it throughout the community. So this is not a classified article. It is open to the public. So get it, download it, and read it, and prepare as best you can. Time's running out. There are just so many things pressing on the United States and Israel and the world for that matter that you need to do the best you can to preserve, you know, your power supplies or those things that could be damaged in your home or in your car from an EMP pulse, either from the sun or from a nuclear device detonated over the United States. I got to tell you, as I've said many times, the EMP shield doesn't, you know, just take one hit and then blow up or something. It takes at least 40 hits before it fails. So that means you can have 40 EMPs. And it's also durable so that when you have a solar EMP, which lasts like for hours, lots of hours, you need to have that EMP shield in place continuously. When you get an EMP pulse from a bomb, it's over in, you know, a millionth of a second or less. So, that's one test of a shield or a lightning arrestor, but the real test is from the solar EMPs, which are huge. And we'll have some articles that I guess we can look at that here. Let me just go ahead and tell you about some of them at the moment.
You know, when you said that, I guess I really never thought of that. Never thought of the fact that the sun keeps, you know, generating the pulses, the electromagnetic pulses. So thank you for telling me that and reminding me of that. Okay. That makes all sense.
Right. Oh, it does. It does. And look at slide 58. Yeah, this is one of the many exciting things that are facing us. It's not happy exciting, but threatening things. I'll read you that. It says, perhaps even more concerning, scientists estimate the chance of a keratin-level coronal mass ejection in the next 10 years to be from 4 to 12%. Say like either a 1 in 10 or less chance. Now, the scientist says that in the next 10 years, there's a 35% to 45% chance a coronal mass ejection will disrupt GPS service for up to several days. The cost to our nation and economy will be measured in the billions of dollars. Now, this isn't someday they're talking about. This is in the next 10 years and probabilities of it, because they're expecting, as I've been saying myself, that we're going to see severe changes in the sun. The Bible tells us it's going to happen in the end days, in the last days of this age. And we're seeing evidence of it all the time. It doesn't take a keratin level event. You can have one that occurred in 1921, and same month as us in May. And, you know, that, that can repeat one or two times every 100 years at least. Let's see here. Look at slide 59 and click on the text there. That's from spaceweather.com showing where that May 1929 or 1921 geomagnetic storm occurred. And, it came from a giant sunspot. This caused, you know, 1,000-volt charges to run down telegraph lines and all kinds of stuff and caused fires at that time. And that wasn't even the Carrington-level event. It wasn't a direct hard hit. So everywhere we're getting warnings that things with the sun are not stable. Look at slide 60. This is back in Quebec, they're talking about a 1989 event there, and I remember seeing that on the news, that a CME hit Earth's magnetic field, and a minute and a half later, the Hydro-Quebec power grid failed. It caused a 9-hour blackout, and millions of Quebec people found themselves with no light, heat, and wondering what was going on. Now, this was a minor hit, right? We're expecting a huge one to hit us here in the next 10 years. Just so many things that point to that.
I remember
that. Yeah, as Holly says, it doesn't have to be 10 years. It could be tomorrow. But in the next 10 years from today forward, for the next 10 years, these are the probabilities they're giving us on these things. You know, when the power grid goes down, you don't have cell phones. You don't have television. And your satellites are probably going to be not communicating because the whole communications network might be fried or at least impeded by the solar wind coming along with that. And this is just the normal behavior of the sun, the progression of the sun and things that might happen. This doesn't include, the probability of EMP pulses from war events like North Korea hitting us or like China or Russia or both or all of these and Iran hitting us with EMP pulse weapons parked offshore in the international waters. They would come into our skies so quickly that you couldn't really expect all of them to be taken down before one of them succeeded in hitting our electronics grid and equipment with an EMP pulse. It's just, we are under such threat. I can't believe it. Do you feel that, you know, Doug? I mean, it's just, it's amazing how quickly it's growing.
You know, you had your meeting on, Sunday, and we had it afterwards later on Sunday night. And I said then, and I'll say it now, I feel very, there's something on the horizon, immediate horizon. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, I feel extremely, I feel that, yes, it's a spiritual and a intuitive feeling. I don't know. You know, did you ever walk into a room, or were you ever in a room and either somebody came in or you walked into a room and you said, man, somebody's here. You know, it could be like a store, warehouse, whatever it might be. That's kind of the feeling I have in terms of something is like right in the offing here. So that's what I feel.
Most of us humans anyway do have that kind of creepy sense, you know, that warns you, like, I felt it in Israel when I was down in the Qumran caves, and I was exploring some of them in cave 15, I think I recall. But my associate and I were going into these caves and one by one checking them out to see if they had scrolls or other things. And in this particular one, it was easy to get into. We didn't have to swing into it or anything. We could walk into it, and it was very hot outside, and it was even warmer, hotter inside, and kind of moist feeling, you know. And as we walked in, we felt this, like the hair on the back of your neck climbs out, you know, or pops out. I looked at my friend there, and I said, do you feel that? And he said, yes. And as I said that, I looked off to my right there in a dimly lit cave and put my torch on it, and I could see a stack of animal bones that had been gnawed clean. And we were sure that we had a feline, you know, a cat of some sort that would eat you, sitting there watching us. And then, you know, I could feel it. My partner could too, because we both looked at each other. So I know what you're talking about, that creepy feeling, and you're getting that now with current events or potential events.
Yes.
So I thoroughly understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just something. It's intuitive. It's spiritual, but it's that voice saying, hey, you know what? There's something not right here, you know? So yeah. Oh boy. Well,
along those lines, you and I talking like this, and we talk about prophecy, we talk about strange things, but and war and attacks. And if you look at slide 64, in the text it says, Democrats, Republicans reach a deal to create a 9/11-style commission for January 6th. McCarthy raises big issue. Okay, what they're trying to say is they're setting up a commission to investigate not only the 400 people they've arrested from that march that went on to the Capitol there when Trump made his farewell speech. They're extending that to look at all of us here that are, you know, potential terrorists, like these people that just came over there, you know, big deal. But, you know, let me just see, I think down on the article here.
They're coming after us, Stan. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind.
That's what it's about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there it is in black and white. They're going to extend this, and they're going to come after us for being Christians, for being conservative, for not wanting the corona, virus, vaccination. They're going to come after us for things that are normal, what normal human beings would express during times of crisis like this. We really need to get rid of the occupiers of the White House and our government at the moment because they stole it. It was a false election. They rigged it, and they took it away from President Trump. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, still our president. On the good news side, the good news side of that, Trump says in slide 66, as our country is being destroyed both inside and out, the presidential election of 2020 will go down as the crime of the century. Now, he put that on his website. You can see that there. There you go. Now, he's hit this statement a couple times in various forms of it, saying, you know, it was illegally done, that they took it away from us. And then, in slide 65, click on the picture first.
All right.
And you see President Trump, you know, while he was still in office, speaking to a group of military men. And then you see down below it an interesting picture of President Trump and several major military generals in charge. And I'm telling you that this is indicative of a coup, a counter coup by President Trump and those supporting him. 75% of the military support President Trump. Now, click on the text, and you'll see it's on Dave Hodges' show. Right. You'll see the things that are happening here that tell us that President Trump is going to have to do this. Somebody is, because we now have enough people in the public here, not supporting, but being against what the Biden administration is doing to us. It's hitting everyone, Democrat, Republican, independents, you know, everyone. And if you look in that article, it says, Biden does not have the nuclear codes. And this is why Pelosi 3 months ago demanded the codes for herself. She was refused. So the Pentagon's not giving that the occupiers of the White House and our government at the moment the nuclear launch codes. They're crazy. You know, they could launch these things on ourselves, for instance. Now, Biden was forbidden entrance into the Pentagon under the orders of Marine Corps Commandant. So if the president can't go into the Pentagon, you think the Pentagon is worried about him? And the article says, I have confirmed through deep cover informants. This is, Dave Hodges. I have confirmed through deep cover informants that Biden does not control the nuclear submarine fleet or the Space Force. This is absolutely huge. The Biden people know that the military wants to arrest them and usher in a return of Donald Trump. And, in the article there, it says, connecting the dots. You've got it there on the screen down toward the lower fourth of the page. And you just see how many things that Biden has allowed, which makes it imperative that we physically kick him out of office and arrest him. This is not treasonous talk or anything, because these people are invaders. They're not our government. In the Biden group, the Biden gang that's there and the people behind him.
If anyone thinks, Stan, you know, it was just in the shadow of the 2020 election in Phoenix, 95-mile caravan, Donald Trump caravan, pro-Trump caravan, Maricopa County, where the audit is being conducted, the forensic audit, which is making so many people nervous. The Board of Supervisors is doubling and tripling down, saying you can't see any of this. We already had audits. Sent a 13-page letter to Karen Fan, the president of the state senate of Arizona, and admitting that they essentially, and you've got to really go through this letter, but they admit that I believe it was Dominion, their equipment did not provide the Dominion actually did the previous audits too. There were two. And the supervisors or the election officials did not have control over their own elections. That's in Maricopa County. And from Michigan, Matthew DiPerno, his office was ransacked, much like Watergate. Are we hearing this on the news? I don't remember hearing about any of this on the news. Antrim County, New Hampshire, they just found a Democrat said, "Hey, I want a recount." Well, they had a recount. And guess what? Not only did she lose by, I think, you know, she said, "Oh, it was close. It was like 20 votes or roughly." No. They found that the votes were switched from Democrats from Republicans to Democrats. So on the hand count of 10,200 and some odd ballots, she lost bigly. Okay. So, people are waking up, Stan, and see, here's the thing. So let me ask you this question, because if we were sitting at the kitchen table talking, having coffee, what do you think would happen if the American public, if I don't know, the audits came back and the forensic audits came back and said, "Look, man, you know, Donald Trump won." And not only did Donald Trump won, they won in Georgia, the Senate seats in Georgia. Not that that was anything, you know, to brag about, but okay. And not only that, a lot of the other votes, Republican other votes won as well. So the states decertify their election results. Now, we've never been in that period before. So my question to you, I guess, Stan, just sitting at the kitchen table here, what do you think would happen in America if Donald Trump, if they said, "Okay, we're going to bring Donald Trump back in. We have to because he won." What do you think would happen in America?
Well, first of all, who is they? Who's going to say that he won?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me think this through. Eric, we'll say he won. That's a good point. Yeah, who's going to say that, right?
All these polls and recounts and things proving that the election was stolen are interesting. But for the unconvinced on the Democratic side that supported Biden and stuff, they could all think, "Well, this is, made up. This is not true." But the thing that they can't argue against is when they're going to the store and they're having to pay exorbitant food prices already, and when they're parked in lines miles long to get gasoline, these are personal things that are getting in their pocketbook. And you don't need proof to see that the Biden administration is failing miserably, or bigly, as you were saying. And they really aren't an administration. They are occupiers of the building and the buildings here in Washington. They are part of a force invading the United States. These are our enemies. There's no question about it. I have no qualms in saying this. So when they, the ones that supported Biden, when they realize, "Whoa, that was a mistake. Everything that Trump was doing was actually pretty good. Life was sweet." These guys don't belong there. So now then, when the majority, 70-80%, maybe even less than that, of the American population, no matter what political stance they have, when they say, we need to do something. This is not right. This is illegal. They're violating the Constitution. They're flooding us with illegals and with terrorists that are sneaking in from the Middle East through the southern border. We've got to stop this. At that point, it's like saying, like the Masons have a saying, well, no one helped the widow's son. That's a distress call. It's here. And so at that point in time, President Trump and his military supporters and other groups of people that are supporting him, they can make their move to take the country away from these invaders, kick them out, lock them up, get rid of them. And they will have the support of the people. That's the important thing. And that's why President Trump, I think that's why President Trump has held back this long before actually making a move to physically get our country back.
And I'm glad you said that because, you know, imagine what would have happened if on the day after the election or any time before the 20th of January, if he would have, or even after the 6th or around the 6th or whatever, if he would have said, look, this whole thing was a sham. We're going to bring the military in or whatever the case might be. If he would have forced the issue as opposed to letting it play out a little bit, I'm beginning to think, I like your train of thought there, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
There are so many things to cover. Another thing that needs addressing and fixing as best we can is the weather, the climate here in the United States particularly, but it's worldwide. It's hitting Australia, it's hitting us, it's hitting a lot of food-producing countries. Slides 52 through 51, that's six slides, they cover various aspects of what's happening right now. And this is by the sun, the drought being caused in the United States. Look at slide 49's picture. Bring that up. And you'll see here in Colorado, even we have fields that are definitely plowed, but there's no seed in them because there's no rain. So why plant seeds in the lower half of that picture you've got there if you roll the screen down? But anyway, yeah. And now then back up to the map itself. This is showing you the temperatures, the drought conditions from NOAA of, the United States. And you can see that from West Texas all the way up into, Idaho. And west of there, we have severe drought situations, and they're getting worse. This means that a lot of farmers aren't even planting. There's no point to it because there's no water. And we're having water restrictions in certain places where people that would plant aren't being allowed to draw it because they're not supplying it through the conduits that they normally do. It's like a dust bowl like we had, in the book. What was it? Was it East of Eden when they're talking about the dust bowl there and the migrations of the people across, in Steinbeck's?
Grapes of Wrath.
The Grapes of Wrath, was it? Yeah, Grapes of Wrath. We're seeing that again and worse. And we have much more people now. So if you look over in the central north United States on that map, the temperature change, it's fairly neutral up there in the Dakotas, but southwest and west are much worse than the east coast where people live, but that's not the major crop, production areas. You have California and, Texas and Arizona, all these places that feed the rest of the nation are in dire strife. And these farmers don't have an endless bank account or resources, and they can't just snap their fingers and say, hey, give us some water. It takes, government action, which this administration will not do because they are doing everything they can to bring chaos to the United States so that the invading forces from China, Russia, Iran, and wherever, Mexico, can take over the United States, permanently to get rid of elections and any chance to legally by the Constitution, regain control of this country. And a counter coup in this case would not be illegal. It would be simply correcting an error that occurred at the ballot box by these invaders.
Yeah, but think of the riots you'd have.
What? What riots? Holly just said.
You'd have
riots from the Democrats and all the people that, want Biden in there.
Yeah, you mean after we counter coup or not? Yeah, okay, it's an obvious point, but Holly and I were warned by the Hopi, about the civil war that would occur in the United States between various factions, a multifaceted civil war. And so I know that even though if and when President Trump makes a counter coup, this is going to spark riots all over the country, and a lot of them are going to be instigated by fifth columnists, you know, by terrorists. Sure. Posing as normal Americans. So we're going to have the chaos, multifaceted civil war, no matter what we do.
I'm with Holly, by the way. I'm 100%, Holly. I agree with you. And Stan, I agree as well, you know, when you mentioned the Hopi. And you, as you have frequently spoken about that. But you know what, Stan, and forgive me for saying this. Please, everyone, forgive me for saying this, but you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready because what choices do we have at this point? They've taken over our every aspect of our lives almost, our media. They've taken over our judiciary. They've taken over our legal system, our legislatures, state and local and federal. And they've taken over the Supreme Court, it seems like. They've taken over everything. So how do we fix this short of a shooting war? I mean, not that I want that. I'd love to be able to fix it, but how? It's just me.
Well, look, we have to do that. They've already drawn guns on us in these rioters in the Northwest and other places in the country. And they've hamstrung these police forces in these areas, National Guards and things like that, by saying, no, you can't do it. Don't stop this. Let it go. And then defunding the police and various other things. These terrorists have made it almost impossible for the local governments, you know, cities and states to take up arms and get rid of these offenders because they know who they are. They've got them on film. They've identified them. And they truck themselves around these terrorists to various cities and riots so they can stir them up. It's a well-planned and executed move, or moves, I guess. So, yeah, we have to physically become a police force to correct the United States. And we're allowed to do that because these people have stolen the election. They do not legally have control of this country, even though they do have control at the moment. And that's why we have to pick up arms under proper guidance, leadership of doing that. And particularly, you know.
And that's the thing. I mean, to me, we're living in a post-constitutional republic and, or post-constitutional society. And you're right. I mean, look, we need statesmen to lead us out of this, constitutional statesmen. That aren't afraid of the weaponized intelligence community, you know, that aren't afraid of, I'm going to be quiet now, but that's what we need.
I know what you're feeling, what you're saying. But it's like I've said several times in the last few shows we've done, this far and no farther, the line has been drawn and we have to now stop any further encroachment. It is time for the counter coup, organized military coup, to go get rid of these interlopers. We have to do that.
If I can ask both of you and Holly, I mean, if she wants to chime in, she can. I'm just curious. Do you feel that this country, based on, do you feel that we are split like 50-50, or do you feel that there's more constitutionalists on our side than there are, the Antifa kind of street urchin people?
Holly, did you hear that?
Yeah, I think the Antifa thugs and the rest of them make up a small minority, but simply because they were so raucous and they've infiltrated a number of our institutions, their voice is louder. But I think there's more people here when it got right down to it that stand up and fight for this country.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it only takes 3-6% of the population revolting, you know, or in this case, invading. And you can take over a country. It doesn't take massive, you know, swaths of people. They can be misled by that 3-6% control of media and broadcasts and, you know, military, well, which they don't really have. What do you think, Doug?
Well, it's interesting because Eric the Tech chimed in my ear and said, whatever the media covers too, you know, in terms of elevating that smaller element of society. So, you know,
they love to cover the 5% and under news.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I agree with you folks. You and Holly, and thank you, Holly. I agree with you. I think there are more people that are not insane or not communists or not, you know, there are more people on the constitutional side, I suppose, if I had to draw that line.
Yeah, because Constitution, you know, as it was drafted and amended over the years, protects the Democrats as well as the Republicans and independents. They still have to have the right to change things. And the way it's going now, the leftists in this country are saying, whoops, the Democrat people, just the normal average guy, is saying, whoa, we're losing control to be able to do anything like this. They're fixing it so we can't have a fair election anymore, our elections at all. So, yeah, the common people are waking up. They're feeling it, you know, in their pocketbook and their COVID-19 handling and their kids not going to school and all this kind of stuff is reaching everyone, even those that voted for Biden.
You know,
and that's why we had to wait until this point to start making a move.
Okay.
Well, if a move is being made, sorry.
If a move is being, well, you know, it's interesting because there seems to be, I get the feeling, and I don't have any sources to tell me otherwise. I just get the feeling that there's a lot of stuff happening in the background. A lot of, you know, it looks like a tranquil kind of pond and there's all kinds of stuff going on underneath the surface. But, and I so appreciate this discussion, especially with Holly off camera. It's great. But, you know, okay. So, I guess the other question, since you mentioned this, the lockdowns and the mask and the non-masking and stuff. I've been asking all this question to everybody I run into. Why do you think, why all of a sudden did the CDC say, okay, well, you know, you can take off your mask, you know, if you have the jab, if you're vaccinated or whatever, which is a non-vaccination, but why now? Because certainly they didn't achieve their goal of the jab in terms of numbers. So why now? What's behind that? I just get I get a weird feeling about that.
Well, obviously, you know, Biden has been threatening that we'll be sorry if we don't get the shot. He's becoming more vocal about punishing those 60 million of us or whatever that don't want to do it. The liquid or injectable shots are potentially a problem with our DNA, with modifications there in certain parts of our genetic makeup of this country. And so, you know, my brother's a doctor. I've asked him what to do. And he and I and our families, we're not taking the vaccine shot. If we are forced, you know, at gunpoint to take a vaccine, he says, take the Johnson & Johnson one. And even my own doctor said the same thing. But there is a way to get around if you don't take the shot, if you want to protect yourself or have just been exposed to COVID-19, go to slide 42. Now, my brother pointed me to this and says, here is a way to buy a type of medication. You can get it. It's a telephone or like a phone med consultation with an authorized doctor. And you go to this link. It's called America's Frontline Doctors. And there are a number of medications, but in particular, the ones for COVID-19 are like hydroxychloroquine and another one that he talks about on there. And you can go in there, make an appointment by phone, and then get this particular drug here. I'm just trying to...
Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You know, actually, yep. Stan, I'll tell you, I know people who have used this, two people, actually, so not a lot, but two. And they're very happy with the service.
Right. Okay. Well, my brother said, look particularly at, in addition to hydroxychloroquine, look at ivermectin. It's the second one in line three there. If you just go down, and to the left a bit, I guess, or to the right, move to the right on your screen. Is that right? Anyway, number three, you can't see the number there, but it's on the left side of the screen. But there, the second medicine in that's recommended and that they will supply to you is that, you've got it there with the highlight there, ivermectin. So there are ways for the Christians to avoid, the consequences of being exposed or contracting COVID-19 by using these two drugs, which you can buy online with these people, and they'll be delivered to your address, home address or wherever you tell them to. It's a telemed call, and there's the number even. That way you can be protected. It's not going to keep you out of any kind of restrictions that the government puts on us now if we don't have the shot, like saying you can't buy, food, or you can't buy gasoline, or you can't travel, or that kind of stuff. It won't stop that. The only thing to stop that would be a counter coup at the moment. But in the meantime, these are things to protect you and your family, to have in your cupboard there or someplace dry and cool to have and use should the COVID-19 issue become a problem to you and your family. So as you say, a couple of people have used this.
Yep.
It is a good place.
Yes, yes. And it was a seamless, it was all of like 10 minutes, but it was comprehensive enough where, it wasn't, they knew what they were doing. Okay, I'll just say that.
The doctors ask you questions about your health and age and all that kind of stuff to be sure that you can take this stuff and not have any side effects from it.
Right.
So you need to have a proper physician, which they have several of, and you'll be talking to one of these physicians who will be like your doctor and interview you the same way your doctor would. So as you say, it's a pretty painless, 10 or 15 minute consult, and you authorize them, to send you that stuff and give them a credit card and buy it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's my understanding they have their own pharmacy, if you will, or pharmacy like
dispensary.
Yeah, dispensary. That's what I was looking for. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's, one addition to this, I've been doing a lot of research, and I know Peter Barry Chaka, who hosts our show, has done a lot of research into Fauci. And my goodness, the HIV, AIDS, that whole debacle back then, and how Fauci was up to his elbows in that, how Ron Klain, who is Obama Biden, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Marbles, his chief of staff or / body man, was the Ebola czar, okay, when Fauci and Klain met in the White House in 2014. And Fauci, oh my goodness. This whole thing is just, it stinks to high heaven. It really does. So I just.
It's incestuous. It really is. Yeah. I want to discuss the situation in Israel. Everybody's probably watching the daily news about the rocket attacks from the Palestinians and some being launched even from the Lebanon in the north of Israel. And this situation is getting very tense over there. Now, Holly, in her book, Prophetic Perils, if you look at slide 41, you can click on that and go to, our kind of blurb on that book and see the chapter she's got in it. And in there is a chapter which covers the armies, or the countries and their armies that are arrayed against Israel. And she has it, I think it's in chapter 18. I'm just looking down there, but anyway, I've got the book here. I'm going to read this part for you because it's important to see that prophecy written in Psalm 83 covers exactly the countries that we see now lined up against Israel. On page 416 of her book, The Prophetic Perils, says the great Middle East war players, verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 83. It says here, the tents of Edom, the descendants of Esau, is of Palestinian refugees and southern Jordanians. And you'll see that Jordan plays into this heavily. The Ishmaelites are the Saudi Arabians. Moab are the Palestinian refugees and central Jordanians. There we are in Jordan, again, allied with the Palestinians. The Hagrites, those are the Egyptians. The Gebel, the Hezbollah, and northern Lebanese. Ammon, the Palestinian refugees and northern Jordanians, there's Jordan again, Philistia, that's Palestinian refugees and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, the inhabitants of Tyre, that's Hezbollah and southern Lebanese, Assyria, Syrians and northern Iraqis, the children of Lot, Moab and Ammon, or Jordanians, that's all of the Jordanians, Amalek, Arabs of the Sinai Peninsula, including Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Oman, Yemen, Kuwait, and Qatar. Now, this is Psalm 83 war versus the Gog-Magog war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. She covers that in the same chapter. But what I was interested in this for was the Arab Confederacy that's forming, and certainly Mohammed bin Salman has done his part to ally at least 34, maybe up to 39 Arab countries and allies into a confederation that can be used against Israel. Now, the attack on Israel by these allied nations when it starts will be rather sad for the allied nations attacking Israel, because a fire is going to destroy a lot of their armies right as they approach. And they're going to turn and run, you know, turn tail and run when they see what's happening. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be an act of God that occurs at that point, or whether it's going to be the nuclear facility, nuclear arsenal of Israel against these allied armies as they approach Israel. Thing about it is the approaching armies are going to have their troops facing Israel and coming to Israel. They're going to be leading, they're going to be great targets. And Israel does have nuclear facilities and other types of new weapons that could very well do what is suggested in the Bible, what is stated in the Bible, like a fire, a consuming fire that will destroy great amounts of these invading armies. Anyway, get that prophetic peril book out if you have it. If you don't, then we've got plenty of them here. Get them and read about this and many other things about the Gog and Magog war. And of course, about Armageddon, there'll be more and different countries allied in that situation.
I have to say, I've got that book, and folks, it is a tremendous book, Prophetic Perils by Holly Dale. She does a great job. And Bill Salas talks about the Psalm 83 war as well. I think you know, we've had him on, and lines up with what Holly has written, and of course lines up with biblical prophecy.
Something I need to throw in here on the solar thing here. You'll see in slide 62 in the text, it says, after glimpsing faint but widespread superheated material in the sun's outer atmosphere, a NASA sounding rocket is going back to the sun for more. This time they're carrying a new instrument optimized to see it across a wider region of the sun. The mission, known as Extreme Ultraviolet Normal Incident Spectrograph, or UNIS for short, will launch from the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. The launch window opens on May 18th today. Now, the interesting part about this, among other things, is that they are testing, they are sensing and recording data on the extra or extreme ultraviolet radiation from the sun. As I've been telling you all along, this ultraviolet radiation is popping up since 1992 in different wavelengths, different bandwidths from the sun. And it's indicative of something rather major happening to the solar chemistry. So that article is interesting. It tells you about what they're doing, why they're doing it. But the main thing is that they are looking at the ultraviolet, the extreme ultraviolet, which I've been worrying about. You know, we're going to see more of this kind of stuff coming from the sun, where it will be difficult to be outside without protection on your skin. Anyway, that's just a note on that. And in these times, you know, it's a great opportunity for us believers to use current events with the sun and with the military, you know, all this kind of stuff, to witness to people who are confused or frightened about what is happening. It's numbing, mind numbing to these people. It's frightening to them. They don't know what to do. They're without a rudder, certainly not from what is occupying the White House at the moment in our country. But slide 61 is a study which shows Christianity spreads best in unlikely places. It's not where you would think, but it is where it is needed most. Now, in summarizing the article, it shows that the nations that support and allow Christianity to be preached and practiced in their countries, that the salvation and conversion and stuff is minimal there. It's starting to drop because people have gone kind of fat and lazy there. where the spread of Christianity is huge, particularly like in China, but in North Korea, there are places, countries across the world where Christianity is spreading because they are suppressed. They're not allowing Christianity in those countries, but it is an underground like in the early church. You know, it is spreading like wildfire in the underground. By the way, an update on my brother James and his wife in China. They are fine and everything is, you know, prayer is working for them. That's kind of all I can say about that at the moment. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for that update.
Yeah. Hey, an interesting thing, slide 63. The Royal Marines have been testing these jetpacks, you know, where you strap it on your backside, push a button and you're airborne and you fly with these jetpacks. It's, like Flash Gordon all over again, except for real. And the article says, bad guys the world over will soon have one more thing to keep them up at night. Commandos in jet suits descending on them from the skies. The British Royal Marines from the 42nd Commando and 47th Commando units participated in an exercise with Richard Browning, the founder and chief test pilot of Gravity Industries, in which they demonstrated their ability to use jet suits to successfully board vessels at sea. So, you know, certainly this is a real solution, you know, to go in and get rid of these people that are pirates. But it's also going to be useful in warfare to move a squad or numbers of people very quickly into strategic positions needed to attack and defeat the enemy. What an interesting thing. It's like Dick Tracy's, you know, radio watch he had, you know, those days, and we've got them now in all kinds of Apple watches and things that are intelligent, well, to a degree. I mean, they're communicating devices and data acquisition devices. But those things written about in the comics 60, 70 years ago are now reality out of necessity.
That's how Eric the Tech gets to work. He's got one of those. No, can you imagine seeing one of them coming at you? You know, I mean, oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can have a sub that surfaces on, you know, invisible in a blind sight on a ship that's been commandeered by terrorists. And, they could then use that as a launch platform and just zip up over the top of the deck. And they're there on board fighting the baddies before they even know that they're there. Marvelous invention. I think that's just a really great idea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, by the way, slide 50 on droughts and things like that. The article says, how long will Australia be livable? Facing a future of fire, drought, and rising oceans, Australians will have to weigh the choice between getting out early or staying to fight the environment or the weather. You know, like the United States, a major portion of the population of Australia live on the coastal areas. And before Holly and I even left the country in 2001, the government was announcing to the people on the east coast near Brisbane and New South Wales, don't build any closer to the shoreline now than, say, like 1,200 feet in, because we see that the sea level is going to continue to rise and flood out districts, you know, infrastructure, whatever. So they're already advising them, like 20 years ago, don't build near the coast because of the flooding that's going to occur. So that article, you know, covers a number of these things. And it makes you wonder, for those that were thinking, well, I'm going to escape to Australia to get out of the trouble here. The environment down there is going to be a major issue. The heat. And it's going to cause the population to break away from the cities, which are concrete, you know, heat sources for the area. Get out of the cities, and it's going to cause, you know, the migration of people away from the cities, and chaos will ensue. But also, we're going to see the Chinese pushing Indonesians, the Islamists there, to come down into the northern half of Australia and take it over. So Australia, as far as, you know, an escape and a safe haven, is not what I would call highly recommended, just for those that were thinking that.
Wow. Is there any place that's really going to be safe globally?
No.
Don't think so.
No. And especially for Americans, because Americans will be hunted down like Israelis, you know, especially if you're overseas. Did you ever see that movie Knowing, where the kid had all these numbers that were written down and it was a prophecy for what was coming?
No.
Well, Holly, who was that star of knowing?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. At the end of the movie, it shows that the Earth is hit by a supermassive flare from the sun, and it shows buildings being just blown away, burned up, and it's so hot you can't live. And of course, the theme of the show was that several chosen children and animal types were being caught up into spaceships by angels and were taken to new planets where they weren't threatened by this solar phenomenon. But the graphics in it, just, you know, will immediately remind you of one third of the planet being fried with light seven times the strength of what it is now, as prophesied in the book of the Revelation of John. And I saw that movie, you know, recently. I thought, wow, this is so far ahead of its time in warning people about the solar, you know, flare impact. It's going to hit the side of the planet that's facing the sun. And that's when the damage will occur, but it will be a brief thing, a few minutes, hours, and that side of the planet will burn. The oceans will boil. But as the effect, you know, as the flare diminishes and the moon turns, then the rest of the planet will get the heat being distributed from that fire. And that will affect crops and, you know, clouds or, you know, dust clouds and stuff that will hit crop growing. And anyway, that just reminded me of that that movie. With the UFO situation, there's so much on that at the moment. I mean, there are four or five major news stories this week on related to the UFO and the release of the documents by the government. Slide 39, Tucker Carlson said, UFOs may pose a real threat to the United States, and the U.S. military does not care. The conflicts the Pentagon says it's preparing for seem comically small and outdated. It's a video produced by him, and you'll see that Luis Elizondo, who we've seen on the History Channel talking about the need to release the government secrets on UFOs, he says, look, I'm not telling you that it doesn't sound wacky. I'm telling you it's real. Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, 600 to 700 times the force of gravity when turning corners, that can fly 13,000 miles an hour, that can reach and evade radar and can fly through air and water and possibly space. And, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings to control surfaces, no control surfaces, and yet can still defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing, said Elizondo. Click on that and see what Tucker Carlson has to say about it later. Slide 47, a UFO expert has urged the U.S. government to release a top-secret photo that purportedly shows a 100-foot object hovering over Calvina in Scotland. Nick Pope, who investigated UFOs for the Ministry of Defense in England, is hopeful the U.S. intelligence agencies release the photo when they publish an upcoming report on UFOs and strange encounters. That's due shortly here in the next month or so. Pope, who saw the photo of Calvin in Scotland while working for the MOD, told the Sun Chronicle it is one of the most compelling pieces of UFO evidence he's ever seen. And you can see there's a picture there, but then there's the article. You can read further about it. And next to that, another UFO story, slide 48. Underwood is the man who captured the footage that the Times included in their report and the Pentagon later released officially. The infrared camera on the wings of his F-18 Super Hornet recorded a small object floating in the air for a few minutes before rapidly accelerating away. That sudden acceleration, which should be physically impossible, is something that stumps skeptics to this day. And that's on the encounters of the aircraft assigned to the USS Nimitz.
Stan, we only have about a minute left. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone. Wow. But that's amazing. This UFO, these UFO topics.
Well, all right. In the last 10 seconds here, slides 55 through 57 are the current state of the sun and the approaching hotspot in the north, west quadrant or northeast by space terms. That's in slide 56. It's coming around, be here in about 7 days.
Even more reason, empshield.com/Hagman. Stan, I want to say thank you and thank Holly. You folks are fantastic. We love you, and we appreciate everything you do. You know,
it's, thank you, Doug.
A lot of information.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. All right. That'll do it. May God bless each and every one of you. I'll tell you what, just approach the coming days, weeks, months, whatever we've got, with open eyes and with a heart to God. Have a good night.